I want to use this morning from the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. Very familiar portion of the word of the Lord. And I guess if I have a thought that kept running through my mind this week as I read this again and again. What has happened to our excitement with the Lord? It seems like we can get excited about everything else under the sun, but we're not very excited about the Lord. It doesn't seem like anymore. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. And I've thought of that quite a bit. I don't have the answer. I'm not going to try to tell you this morning that I have the answer, but I do know this. If there is any one person that we should be excited about telling other people about, it is the Lord. Every single one of us here this morning probably have somebody or somebodies that we know enough about this morning that we could stand and we could rattle on for quite an extended period of time about them, either good or bad, and maybe some of both. But when it comes to the Lord, it seems like that we have a tendency to not want to talk about him or to share him or to think, you know, you can't say anything bad about him because he's never done anything bad. In the scripture that I've chosen this morning, I say I've chosen, the Lord, you know, basically gave me this text, and I'm always thankful for that. Sometimes I guess probably I'm trying to take credit for things that are not mine to take credit for, because I didn't just particularly choose this, but I do love this portion of the Word of the Lord. But I think sometimes that as I read different portions of the Word of the Lord and I see the responses that people had, that I think, you know, what's happened to us? Because when the Lord saved me, I remember that was quite exciting to me. Now, I never shouted. I never did any great demonstration of joy or anything, but it was quite an experience. It's been one that I've never been hesitant to tell people about. And it's one that has always stayed with me for all of these years. When the Lord saved me, what a wonderful change took place in my heart. And certainly, he has been worthy of every praise that I could possibly give him. And I think sometimes that maybe God's people, and maybe it's me here, that gets kind of locked into, we've got such a standard way of doing everything that everybody's afraid of. Well, we don't want to mess it up. You wouldn't do that if you follow the Spirit of the Lord. I promise you that. I know that. I know that God works in our hearts, and that many times he does speak to our hearts, and we need to listen to him. And people are always reminding me to quit watching the clock and to not be worried about getting you out of here right on time. Well, let me just assure you, that's a two-way street. There are some times when I'm convinced that maybe God speaks to your heart, and some of you have suppressed that by just saying, well, you know, I don't want to interrupt the service, or I don't want to extend the service. We're already time up, and I certainly don't want to do that. Well, in this particular portion of the Word of the Lord, the Bible says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So they had a certain time that they went up to pray. We have a certain time that we gather here every Sunday morning, you know, at 9:30. I was in California. We had a church we went to for a little while. They started at 9:45. That was Sunday school time, 9:45. And so you look around, and I grew up, Sunday school started at 10 o'clock. And so you get all different times when people start their services. And you know, a few years ago, when I finally just was pastoring here, I went before the church and suggested maybe you want to change the time back to the traditional time that you used to have. Well, they didn't want to do that. They liked this time. They liked the 9:30 time. And I kiddingly say, we have early mass, and so you people get out of here at a reasonable time in the morning, and then you got the rest of the day. Well, we as individuals need to have some time throughout that busy day, and some of your days are much longer than others. Some of you have shorter days. Some of you have longer nights. I used to kiddingly say, you know, that's the biggest waste of time we have is to sleep. You know, we're wasting all that valuable time that God has given us. Well, we have to have some sleep too. I understand that. And some more than others. But we also need to have some time when we talk to the Lord. It doesn't have to be at a certain minute on the clock every time. It may not be at the same time every day or evening, but we need to have some time whenever we say, Lord, I need to talk to you a little bit. I need to tell you what's on my heart and what's in my life. I need to talk to you. And that's all praying really is when we talk to the Lord. And we talk to him not just with our mouths, but with our hearts. And he understands our hearts. He knows the very thoughts and the intents of our heart. So we need to have that time. But then we also need to be sure that we leave a little time for him to speak to us. We need to be able to say, now, Lord, I've told you, I've made all my requests, I've asked you for all these things, I've said all the things I need to say. Now I need to listen to you for a little bit. And he's going to speak to your heart. And he will speak to you. Don't you doubt for a second that he won't. He will. He doesn't discriminate. He doesn't say, well, I'll speak to the preacher, but I won't speak to anybody else. He doesn't say, I'll speak to the deacon, but I won't speak to anybody else. He speaks to every one of us as his children. And he speaks to us as we listen to him, as the Spirit moves in our hearts. And he also speaks to us through his word. So we need to take that combination. We all need to have a little time whenever that we spend some time in reading the word of the Lord. Now, most of us don't have any problem with finding plenty of time to watch what the latest news is on TV or what's going on out here in the world. And we need to do that. Don't misunderstand me. But we also need to be able to say, Lord, I need a little time for you to speak to me through your word. So I need to take some time to read the word of the Lord. Paul, writing to the young preacher, said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we need every single one of us. That's not just for preachers. That's for every single one of us that we study the word of the Lord. Anyway, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. And the Bible says a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Look on us. Remember what I preached last Sunday? Whenever that Gideon went out there and took those 300 men with him, he said, you watch me, and whatever I do, you do that. Let me tell you something. Every single one of us as a child of God are being watched. Every one of us. Not a single one of you that aren't being watched. And sometimes people see us when probably we would prefer they didn't. There are probably, now I'm speaking from experience, and you notice I'm saying probably because I don't know that you're guilty of this, but most of us at some time or another are not behaving, are not living, are not talking and not walking the way that makes a good representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. We know that when it happens. We'll get caught every time, I guarantee you. I'll get caught. I tell people every once in a while, I do not know what is wrong with people's thinking anymore. Let me tell you something. You better not think that you're going to be able to do anything and get away with it. Now, a lot of times you may be able to get away with it, me. You may be able to get away with it with the church. You're never going to get away with it with the Lord. And in our society today, with all the technology we have, you can't get away with much of it in just the world today, because somebody's going to have their camera out taking a picture of you. I tell people every once in a while, I've got one, you know, that's like most of you do, but I'm so illiterate about it, by the time I could get it out and figure out what numbers I've got to punch in there, whatever it was I was going to take a picture of, it's probably 5 miles on down the road. So, I am amazed. But let me tell you something. There is one that sees every single thing we do. But Peter, as he came by here, this old boy's been laying, he's brought here every day. They bring him here, and they lay him here at the gate of the temple where that he, you know, people are going to be at their best and going to be the most charitable whenever that they're put in a position to where that it's expected of them and they can be seen. And so this little boy's here, and he's laying here in the bag, and Peter and John come by, and Peter stops John, and he says to the old boy, the Bible says that Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Now see this little boy, Peter and John passing by, and Peter says, "Look at us, look at us." Now, perfectly what Peter is probably saying is, you know what, look at us. Do you think that we have enough that, you know, that we've got money? We don't look like wealthy people. Man, we've left everything. We've left our homes. We've left our families. We've left our livelihoods. We're out here preaching the gospel. So look at us. We're not too good of a representation of those who have a great amount of generosity. And this little boy looks at him, and he expects whenever that Peter stops to talk to him that he's going to receive something of him. Let me tell you, there are many instances in the Word of the Lord where people had expectations that were not met, but were far exceeded their expectations. The woman at the well, when Jesus said, "Give me a drink," and you know that whole dialogue, and she said, "Give me to drink of that water that I never thirst again, or that I won't come here to draw water again." And the Bible says that when the Lord spoke to her and she received that living water, she forgot what she had come there for. She was so excited about what had happened that she forgot to take her water pots. The Bible says, you know, she came there to draw water. She left the water pots there and she went running into the city. She was excited about what had happened. Went into the city, said, "Come see a man who told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ?" He had not told her but one thing. Well, maybe a couple. But she knew that he knew everything about her. He had told her that if she had asked of him, he would have given her living water. But the second thing was, and the one that was profound in her mind was, is that he had said, "The man you're living with now is not your husband." And she knew that he understood all things. "Come see a man who told me all things whatsoever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Now, she wasn't wanting him or them to come to be able to tell everything about them, but she had found this person who had living water, had given unto her a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And she was excited about it. But the expectation she had was far exceeded when God gave her that living water. There are people in the Word of the Lord, whenever that the Lord used a parable, and he said that a man went out and hired people to work for him. Went out early in the morning and hired people to work for a penny. They worked all day long. Went out at the 11th hour of the day and hired more people. And whenever they came in and they began to get paid for their day's work, those who went in the 11th hour, they received a penny. Those who had worked all day long expected they would receive more. And they got their penny. That's what they had agreed to work for. And they were upset. Well, these last have only worked a little while. Let me tell you something. Every child of God here this morning needs to understand God does not work on a seniority basis. He does not. He does not reward us on the basis of how many years we've been in His service. He rewards us on the works that we do. And there are some of us who've been working many, many years, but we've spent most of the time rusting. We've not worked very much. And so we need not think that just because we've been, you know, I thought I went back and I looked at this last Saturday night when we were in Tennessee, last Friday night when we were in Tennessee, and I went back and I thought, why in the world did I get up there and say what I said? You know, that was just dumb. Now, for those who weren't there, you don't know what I'm talking about, but I thought, that didn't prove anything, you know. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if you've been saved 100 years. What's going to matter is whether or not you've done anything with that experience of salvation since you've been saved. It's not how long, it's how much. Well, these people were upset. Listen, we've been out there working all day long. And the good man said, well, I've not done you any disfavor. That's what you agreed to work for. You agreed to work for a penny, and that's what you're going to get paid. I'll tell you this. There are none of us who are going to be disappointed with what God gives us because it will far exceed anything that we're deserving of. There will be some who think they should have more so because they've thought they've done so much more. That's just our opinion. Well, anyway, this little boy, he's expecting to receive something. Peter said, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but I've got something that I will share with you, and it's worth more than all the silver and the gold in the world. I'll share something with you. I can share something with you. We Baptists need to understand this morning that we don't have a monopoly on the Lord. We're not the only ones that the Lord blesses. We're not the only ones that God works through. Now, He does work through us, and thankfully He can continue to do that. But we need to understand that we don't need to think that we got to keep it all ourselves. Matter of fact, what we need to do is share more. Share more. I had a fellow in the church many years ago, and I've never forgotten this, when I was pastoring in Pomona. Wasn't there very long, but I had a fellow in the church, and he told me about how that God had laid it on his heart to start tithing. He was a businessman. And he said, you know, I started out, and I thought, Lord, I can't afford to. I'm just getting started in my business, and I can't afford to tithe. But he said, I just kept laying on my heart, and I started. And he said, the first thing you know, it's the more successful. And he said, I upped it from 10%. I went up 5% increments for a while. And he got up to, and he was tithing his business. As you know, that was his livelihood. And he said, you know, the first thing you know, I'm tithing more than I could ever have imagined. And I found out I cannot outgive the Lord. Now, please don't go out of here and say, well, I'll just do that, boy, if I can just start doing that and I can't outgive the Lord. Well, the Lord's not going to bless you just because you think you're going to get something double back. You know, I've heard all these pie-in-the-sky preachers preach this, you know. Don't you get hooked into that. Take the scriptural basis, stay with the scriptural financial plan, and you'll be all right. But you sure don't need to think that you're going to be able to go out here and double your money next week. If you can do that, please come back and see me, because I've got a couple of dollars I'd like to put in for come in next week and tell you I've got four. No, just seriously. You can't, you know. God's got a plan in His Word if we just want to follow it. Well, anyway, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And now listen. "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Now, he didn't just stand there and say, "I want you to do something." That's the way most of us preachers work. We want everybody else to do something. That's sometimes the way Christians work. We want somebody else to do. We don't want to do it ourselves. I said a few years ago in the church I was pastoring, I said, they'll let me do anything I want to do, as long as I do it. They aren't going to do anything, but they're willing to let me do it. That's not a good way to operate. I want you to be able to trust me, and I wouldn't do something that I thought was not in the best interest of the church, but I'm human as like anybody else. But my point is that sometimes you are the one who needs to do something. You are the one who needs to reach down and take the person by the hand and help them up. It's not just enough to give them John 3:16, folks. They need John 3:16, but what they need more than they probably need anything else besides the Lord is they need to know that you care about them, that you love them, that you're sincerely interested in them, not just what you can get out of the deal. Peter said, "Look at us. We don't have any silver and gold, but what we have, we're willing to share." Paul said, "For as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also." He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. For as much as in me is." Man, I tell you what, sometimes I think that it'd be good if our people could get a little excited about the Lord and about the work of the Lord. I wouldn't care if it got a little bit disruptive or if it caused somebody to wake up a little bit. I don't think the Lord would either. Now, I don't want you to just say, "Well, the preacher wants us to get up and hoop and holler a little bit." No, I don't want you to do that. But I don't want you to be ashamed either. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." He reached down, took him by the hand, and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones were strengthened. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, I was going to read a few more verses, but I'm going to give you a little bit of homework there to do. You can finish it up yourselves. And you should. But now listen, do you think for a second, as I was reading this again, I was thinking about you, Leella, and how... And we just talked before the service. What a blessing that God has performed a miracle in your life, and you shared that with us. And I'm so thankful that you did. And I appreciate that. And I think probably more people need to share sometimes the praises of the Lord. We're always, hardly a Sunday goes by that we don't have someone who needs to be prayed for. And that's good that we share that. But it's rare when we turn around and we praise Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. That was exciting. That's exciting. It's exciting for Leella as to what has happened in her life. Now, for those of you who haven't heard me say already, you know, some of you, because I'm talking about her having her vision restored, and some of you wonder what's wrong with mine this morning. Well, I'm not going to tell you what I said to Lindo back there, or Tracy. Don't know if that wasn't a very smart answer anyway. But I had a blood vessel burst in my eye, and that's all it is. So, and so that's happened once before I can remember in my life. But a miracle. And sometimes God performs miracles in our lives, and we need to be able to thank Him and to praise Him. This old boy was excited about what had happened. Every single one of us who've been saved ought to be excited about the fact that the Lord saved our soul, that He's redeemed us, and that we are one of His children, and that we want to share that with someone else.